Oh yeah, real lifers, citizens of the world, welcome to the Real Life Global Movement, where our mission is to inspire, empower, and connect the world through English.
We believe that English should be a fun and enriching part of your life that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want. Are you tired of boring lessons that suck the life out of your learning? Are you ready to step up your game and become a kick-ass English speaker?
Well, we're here to guide and inspire you on your journey to true lifelong fluency. It's time to stop just learning English and start living it. Can I get an aw yeah? Aw
yeah. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls from every corner of the globe, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, effective, and
hot damn
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to us while you're riding your bike, riding the bus, throwing some things into your grocery cart, or even
drinking your morning coffee.
Oh yeah, I'm joined here in the Cross Atlantic studio, as always, by the man who can bake a cake in the freezer, Justin Murray.
Oh yeah, what up, Mr. V? How you doing today?
Not too much. I'm pretty thrilled to be recording this podcast. It's a topic I hold very near and dear to my heart.
By the way, thank you for that wonderful intro, Ethan. That means so much to me. Really appreciate that.
That you can bake a cake in the freezer?
That you would recognize my unique abilities.
So just to roll this off, maybe keep you guys guessing what the topic is. Alphonse Carr, I'm not actually sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but he said, "Some people grumble that roses have thorns. I'm grateful that thorns have roses." So what does that mean, J-Man?
Okay, well, so we have a couple of different words, Mr. V. So grumble, what's this?
Grumble is kind of like when you're angry about something. You might kind of mutter under your breath is another expression. So you kind of make noises or you say curse words maybe in a low voice.
Okay, thorns.
Thorns. So if, you know, if anyone has ever touched a rose, maybe you've pricked your finger on a thorn. So that's the kind of like spiky parts of the plants that hurt you.
And then we know what roses are, right?
Roses are red, violets are blue.
Yeah, stop and smell the roses.
Stop and smell the roses, that's another great expression.
Some people grumble that roses have thorns. I'm grateful that thorns have roses. So what he's saying is that some people complain that, you know, roses have thorns, but I'm grateful that thorns have roses. So it just means that people look at all of the negative things when they really could actually look at the positive things. The glass could be half full.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of always your choice how you want to look at a situation. If you want to complain about everything that's not right, that's bad about it, or if you want to try to look at it as what kind of positivity is there here, or what kind of benefit is there here. And generally, people who have that kind of outlook just have a lot better, happier lives. People like to be around them more. No one likes to be around a grumbler. That said, we will roll into a shout out for someone we are very grateful to have in our Fluency Circle community. Who is that, J-Man?
All right, so we're going to give a big shout out to Christina Serafin from São Paulo, Brazil.
All right, so she says, "I was thrilled to realize that I've been a member of the Fluency Circle for almost 3 years. You can learn so much when fun and a well-crafted program are involved. In addition to English, I always learn something new from my international friends. I can easily say I experience what global citizenship really is about. It makes me so proud to belong to this wonderful community that I treasure dearly. Not only do we practice English together, but we also learn how to respect diversity, nurture, and foster peace." Oh yeah, so that's some pretty powerful words. We love hearing that people are getting a lot of benefit out of the conversations they're having in the Fluency Circle, and especially hearing that from Christina, as she is an English teacher in Brazil. And what exactly is the Fluency Circle for those who don't know?
So the Fluency Circle is our all-star community of global learners that we take special care of, that people that are using or have used different programs of Real Life English, like Fluent with Friends or some of our other courses. So, but that group, we have a WhatsApp group that is very, very buzzing with activity, and people are constantly supporting each other, sharing wonderful things, helping each other with their English, and it's really a very inspiring conversation.
Yeah, I speak for both of us when I say we are both so thankful for all the members like Christina that brighten up that group and just brighten up our day every day. So if you want to learn more about, you know, some of our courses and how you can also become one of the next members of our kick-ass community, the Fluency Circle, then you can go to the show notes of this page at reallifeglobal.com/gratitude. And if you haven't guessed, today's podcast is all about gratitude, about how to express and even to respond to appreciation in English. So we are going to be talking a lot about these subjects, which is going to help you out a lot because, like, sometimes when you're speaking another language, you might have a different way of communicating in your native language and through your culture, being thankful to someone. So we're going to jump right into this topic.
Yeah, just I was going to add to that. Like, one of the things I've felt speaking other languages is, even in English, that's kind of an awkward moment to really express yourself. You have to make yourself vulnerable. Sometimes it's just really hard to express gratitude to another person. But when you do, it feels so good. When that person understands what you want to say, because you really want to be exact. You really, really want to communicate to that person so they feel it. So it's a really great thing to be able to do.
Yeah, I think exact, and you also want it to come across as genuine, not that you're like have some ulterior motive to trying to be show some gratitude. So you want it to come across as being very honest,
authentic, and maybe not so mechanical.
Exactly.
We even get in that mechanical rhythm of always responding with the same thing. So it's good to mix it up too.
Yeah.
And to have different strategies for that.
I think something too about English is that's important for learners is that we say thank you a lot. We're kind of like, we're overly polite in English, in many English speaking cultures. We're always saying thank you. We're always saying sorry. We're always saying excuse me, even though, you know, maybe it's not necessary. Like someone steps on your foot and you say, oh, sorry. And I've noticed that in a lot of other places I've learned, this is not the case, that people are not nearly as apologetic or necessarily saying thank you as much. So let's jump into, first of all, maybe talking a bit about the topic of gratitude, because this goes even more in depth than, you know, just saying thank you. And then we can roll into some expressions that will help you to show your appreciation and your gratitude in English. So first of all, what is gratitude, Justin?
We might say appreciation, right? To be able to just feel grateful, to feel that positive emotion when somebody does something and feel good about it. I think a lot of psychologists and neuroscientists are showing that our amygdala, which is the part of the brain that is associated with fear and being like on edge. What does on edge mean, Ethan?
On edge means that you're kind of like stressed out or nervous, or it can even be a little bit scared about something, worried.
You're kind of like on high alert. Like, kind of the metaphor that they give is like when you're walking on a trail and then you think the stick, the piece of wood, is a snake. Our amygdala, we're constantly afraid and we're constantly looking, scanning the world for problems. And this is kind of like our evolutionary conditioning. So our brains are not adapted to the world of abundance. So we live in a world of abundance right now. We don't need to be scared for our lives. I think they say like our brains are like Velcro for fear and they're like Teflon for appreciation. So first of all, what is Velcro?
Velcro is that material that like... it's used a lot of times to be able to make two things stick together, but in kind of a way that you can attach them and detach them.
Like you have those Velcro shoes, right? They make that sound when you take it off.
Yeah. So Velcro, things sticks to really easily. And Teflon, I think, is something that's very like kind of slippery, right?
Yeah. So our brain really wants, it really grabs onto fear. It's like we're wired for fear. And then at the same time, it's like the positive emotions, we don't grab onto them so easily. This is one of the reasons why people like bad news. This is like really negative news is all over the... because people get engaged with it really easily. In that sense, it's really important to be able to cultivate positive emotions because you're almost rewiring your brain. Because when you get in the habit of thinking positive emotions, you start noticing those in your environment much more. So, for example, one thing... I know I've mentioned this in the past about like a really great English activity is every day for 5 minutes... to stop and just recognize 5 good things in your life. Or it could be for 3 minutes. Just scan your life for the positive things that happened. The things that you take for granted. What does take for granted mean, Ethan?
take for granted. That's a really great expression. It means that you kind of just accept things as basically being, you're kind of like entitled to them maybe, or something that you should have, instead of really like looking at it as something that you should be appreciative of having, or that, you know, it's a really positive thing that you have that. So usually if we take something for granted, we don't realize how great it is until it's gone.
We say take for granted. That might be even a mispronunciation, because I think it's take for granted.
Yeah, I would probably say take for granted with that NT sound.
Yeah. So what are some examples of things that we might normally take for granted every single day?
I think good food, having good food with good people. I think just a lot of times we take our friends or family for granted. We take for granted, you know, for example, I think most people have mothers who do a lot of things for them. And we tend to take that for granted until maybe we're out living on our own and we have to cook for ourselves, wash our own clothes, clean the house. And then you like really realize how much your mother does for you. There's actually a great ad that like kind of touches on this subject that I'll post in the show notes because it's pretty funny.
So wait, do you have a special message for your mom, Penny?
Well, I don't know if she listens to our podcast and she's not an English learner. She does tell me sometimes she will listen to it if she misses me. But yeah, I'm very grateful for everything my mom does. Have amazing, very amazing parents. I'm very fortunate for that.
Yeah. So there are kind of things you don't realize a lot of times. You're not so conscious of their value until you don't have them anymore. So maybe like water as well. Like if your hot water or your water or your internet, right, or electricity, you lose those afterwards. You're like, oh my gosh, I forgot how wonderful that is.
Yeah. Or roof over your head.
Yeah. Roof? What's roof, Ethan?
Roof is basically the top of a building, the top of your house. And we might say like, you know, don't complain. At least you have a roof over your head. You know, you're not living on the street. So, you know, sometimes if I get stressed out, you know, about something that I'm missing, I feel like I'm missing in my life, then I try to come back to like that gratitude. Like Justin says, that I have a roof over my head. I have light. I have electricity. I have running water. Running water is amazing. I think that's something that, you know, we really take for granted how easily we have access to water. And I think you can look at anything in life like that and just start to live a more positive existence if you do that. So I think that's why gratitude is so crucial, to have some sort of daily practice where you're recognizing that.
Yeah, absolutely. So as an English exercise, I really recommend, because a lot of people say, oh, how can I be like a better writer? I would say increase your output. So a lot of people don't have writing practices, but one thing you can do is just sit down every day, take a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper or on your phone and just say, think about it for a couple minutes and just write out the things that you're grateful for and try to vary it so it changes every day. And maybe even like you can write an email to somebody and just say, hey, you know what? I haven't said this in a while, but I really appreciate you. Ethan, you know what, Ethan? I really appreciate you.
Likewise.
So I'm sorry if I haven't said that. But Ethan's birthday, by the way, a couple of days ago. So I hope you had a really great birthday. Did you have a chance to hang out with some good friends, Ethan, or talk to some people?
I got to have some dinner after my master. Well, people listening to this podcast probably don't know I just started a master program here in Barcelona. But after that, because I have night classes, so I had dinner with some friends. So basically, if you start this practice, just writing a few things that you're grateful for every day. Justin said it's great for your writing. It's great even if you're at a lower level, because maybe you're thinking of it first in your native language, and it can help you to kind of figure out maybe what words you're missing, and then you look up those words, you build your vocabulary. So I actually try to get all of my students into a practice of journaling, and especially including some gratitude in there. I don't write down my gratitude. I meditate every day, and at the end of my meditation, I do a practice which we are going to show you at the end of this podcast, which is a few minutes where you're just connecting to your heart, actually, and your heartbeat, and you're trying to recognize some things that are going very well in your life that you should be grateful for, or even small things, you know, appreciating the little things like we were talking about.
Just really quickly, I just wanted to share like how I got connected to gratitude practice at the beginning. I heard about it on Oprah, or my mom shared something with me, I think. Oprah, she started practicing. Oprah Winfrey has a talk show. She's one of the most influential people in the United States. I believe she featured an author of a book on gratitude on her show, and she started practicing, and she recommended it. And so I was in college at University of Colorado, and so I just started doing it every day, and I just noticed a dramatic increase in my sense of happiness and joy. And just, I was able to recognize the positive things in my life a lot easier. And just little things too. On a daily basis, when somebody opens the door for you, right? When somebody does a little service for you that you normally may not recognize because you're too much inside of your own head, it kind of gives you the ability to kind of change your awareness and see those positive things in your life.
Or as we said earlier, to stop and smell the roses. What is that? I don't think we actually explained that expression.
Yeah, we've explained it in the past, but to stop and smell the roses is to enjoy life a little bit and get out of your own head, get out of your hurry, your rush.
Yeah. I try to do that more with, like I kind of said, mentioned earlier, with food or with drinks or with anything like that, because I think especially now in a globalized world, like, you don't realize how many of the products that you use every day come from like vastly or like very far away places, other corners of the world sometimes. So it's like, you know, having your morning cup of coffee that came from Colombia, you know, that was roasted maybe in another place. And it's just like, you start to just kind of think about that, how long it took for that thing to get to you. And, you know, you're just generally taking that hot cup of Joe for granted every morning.
Yeah, I saw a meme. It was like this family on Thanksgiving saying, "Thank you, Jesus, for the dinner." And it showed a picture of like this guy named Jesus, right? I think he was like a migrant worker saying, "Oh, you're welcome," Mexican migrant worker. But really sitting down to just recognize where your food comes from and just, you know, appreciating, like, because a lot of times we don't even realize where our meals come from, thinking about the components.
Yeah, or you sit down for a plate of dinner and it's like you have one thing that comes from the Middle East, another thing that comes from Africa, another thing that comes from South America. And you can just appreciate how far that food traveled to get to your plate. Or if you're a meat eater, maybe like appreciating that animal, you know, died for you to be able to enjoy that meal.
Absolutely. And it's a ritual too. It's something you do constantly. So you kind of, it's a reminder like, oh, stop now. Just at least take 2 seconds before you eat. But we can talk about this forever. So I think it's about time that we move on to some more concrete advice and some expressions for just to help you guys communicate better.
Yeah. We're talking about sitting down for dinner, and, you know, maybe some of you out there have like a new girlfriend or boyfriend, and you're going over to dinner at their parents' house, and you want to be able to show appreciation to your girlfriend or boyfriend's mother for cooking you, or father, for cooking you such a delicious meal without coming across as ingenuine. So maybe this will come in handy for that. So first of all, what's the most basic way of showing appreciation, Justin?
Thank you. Thanks. We know this. I think most people know this, right? You got it. Moving on, maybe going a little bit more complex. This is a little bit more relaxed and kind of like informal, but thanks a bunch.
Yeah, you might say also thanks a million. That's kind of a way, maybe a little bit more increased than like thanks a bunch. You can say thanks a million. Or thanks so much, which basically means the same thing as thanks a bunch. And you could also add on to that the preposition you use is for, like, oh, thanks so much for helping me out with my homework. Thanks so much for cooking dinner. And if you want to go a little bit deeper, so each of these, we're going kind of from maybe the least degree of thanks and gratitude to being much more indebted or much more grateful for the thing the person did for you.
Wait, if we're talking about least degrees, you just want to be like very informal, right? If you want to be an ungrateful bastard, you can just nod, right?
Give a thumbs up.
Yeah. What does nod mean?
Nod is when you move your head up and down. Like it's the same body language you'd use in at least, I think, every native English speaking culture. And the next level, we might say, I really appreciate it. So that could be a good one for the in-laws. I really appreciate you cooking dinner.
Yeah. And oftentimes, well, we usually combine these, right? Like, thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And your tone is really important as well.
Yeah. Your body language, if we wanted to, without mentioning Amy Cuddy.
Ethan, you always bring her up. Amy Cuddy, by the way, we have a TED Talk you really got to watch. Amy Cuddy, The Power of Body Language.
Anyway, we'll post that also in the show notes at reallifeglobal.com/gratitude. So the next one, we might say, I owe you one. Or, you know, if we were speaking fast, we might say, I owe you one. I owe you one. So what does that actually mean?
I owe you one means that it's like you did me a favor and I owe you another favor back.
Exactly. So you have to be careful with that because that person might actually call you out on it.
What does call you out on it mean?
It means they'll actually ask for that favor in return. They'll actually remind you that they did that favor for you.
But at the same time, you have to keep in mind that maybe I owe you one could sort of signify that you're in this, like, I'm only doing it, you know, because people only do you favors to get a favor back. You know what I mean? And I think ultimately the biggest gesture you can do is doing something without any expectation of a return.
Definitely. You know, we'll talk about some responses you could have to that, but I think that's a very good point to bring up, is that that one could show, you know, maybe that what that person that is doing it for you, maybe you could think they have some ulterior motive. But I think there's certain situations too where that's better than just saying like, oh, I'm really grateful for it, or I really appreciate it, to say like, I owe you one. For example, maybe if you're one of your coworkers did you a favor or something like that, that, you know, next time you'll have their back when they need some help with something. So the next one, we might just try to show our appreciation for that person, that we think that person is really awesome for being so generous, being so helpful, or something like that. So you might say, for example, you're the best, you're the greatest. Or if you want to use a little bit more colorful expression, you could say something like, you're the bee's knees.
What decade is that from, Ethan?
I think the 60s or 70s. So I don't think it's that common anymore, but it is kind of like a fun expression that you could use, and at least any American would definitely know it. The reason I brought that up is because my student actually asked me what that meant the other day. So,
but you can say like, you rock, you're cool, you're the best, you're so awesome.
You're one in a million.
Yeah, there you go. You can go on.
It's basically the point with this one is that you're just showing appreciation for like how generous, how helpful that person is.
Another really good one that I like, I might mention this, is like one of the primary ones as well, is like, you know, that really means a lot to me. Just expressing, like, you know, that means something to me. That's important to me. That means something to me. So that, I think that's a very direct way of saying like, that's important to you.
Yeah, especially when it's like something that you're very sentimental about. You know, you actually feel that kind of deep feeling of gratitude and you want to show it. You could say that means a lot to me. Or you could also say like, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you did this. Thank you.
Sometimes like somebody gives me something that maybe I don't appreciate the thing itself, or I'm not going to use it. I might say like, I really appreciate the gesture.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, how would that make someone feel? You think if they gave you a birthday present, for example, and you're like, you didn't really like it, or it's not really something that you would use. But if you said, thank you for the gesture, is it a little bit of a backhanded comment?
What do you mean by backhanded?
Backhanded comment is kind of like something that you say, but it's got kind of a different intention behind it, or a different message behind it. It can be like kind of an insult that's like wrapped in a pleasantry, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just let me give you an example. Somebody recently gave me a book I thought was really interesting, and I probably would read it if I just had more, if my priorities were different. Like right now, I have a very specific list of books I'm reading. I don't really read fiction. And actually, well, I didn't actually tell him, thank you for the, I appreciate the gesture. But I'm not going to read the book, but I was very appreciative. I really was of the book. And so I told my girlfriend, I'm like, I appreciate the gesture, but I'm not going to read it.
It was a nice gesture of him, but it's not my cup of tea.
But I would read it if I just had more time, right?
Yeah. What might be another example of like a backhanded comment?
I can't think of any examples. Do you have an example?
Maybe like if someone, I don't know, for example, we might say they're trying to butter you up, which means they're trying to, I don't know, get something out of you or compliment you. And they might say like, oh, have you been working out? And if you haven't been working out, it could be feel like a little bit of a backhanded comment.
But a backhanded comment, doesn't it usually have the intention of kind of injuring you a little bit?
It could. I don't think it always necessarily does, but I think a lot of times it can be that kind of comment where it's sounds like a compliment, but it's really not. So the next one is moving on in these different ways to show appreciation. You could say a very, very strong one would be, I'm eternally grateful. And what does eternal mean, Justin?
Forever.
Yeah, forever. So it's like you might hear, for example, the collocation eternal love, you know, that it's like a love that goes on even beyond this life. It's eternal forever and ever. So if you say I'm eternally grateful, it means that you're grateful forever until the day you die and even beyond that. If someone does something really huge for you and words can't express how thankful you are, you could say, I'm externally grateful. Or you could say, words can't express how thankful I am.
I was going to say that. Another way, it just came out of your mouth.
I didn't, that wasn't even on the list. It was a bonus. And then just to like wrap up the expressions of appreciation before we move on to responses, the first way that you could kind of ask for a favor or, you know, even thank someone ahead of time is, especially I would use this a lot in email, is maybe saying thanks in advance. So, you know, if you're asking for someone for a favor by email, a really good way to end it before you say like whatever you're sincerely or all the best would be thanks in advance. So there's actually been studies that have shown when you say thanks in advance, people are more likely to respond to your request, at least by email. And this probably also would work if you're asking someone to do a favor in real life. Although, you know, if you're face to face, it's a lot harder to turn down a favor.
Another really good one there is like, I mean, this isn't showing appreciation, but to get somebody's response is like looking forward to your response.
Yeah. You're kind of that one is almost not showing thanks in advance, but it is kind of assuming that they're going to respond.
Or you could, you know, do the double whammy and say, thanks in advance. I'm looking forward to your response.
It sounds like Justin's been cold emailing some people for some favors.
Okay. Well, we have a cold call, right? What does that mean?
Cold call. So it'd be the same thing. A cold call is when you're like what telemarketers do, for example, where you're calling someone that you don't know to ask them a lot of times to like buy something or to sign up for something. And if you're doing a cold email, it's pretty much the same. You're writing someone that you don't know to ask them for something or to try to get them to buy something.
Okay. What about cold turkey?
Cold turkey. That means to quit something without using some sort of like substitute or without weaning yourself off. And weaning yourself off is probably another hard one. So it's like, for example, a baby, when they need to quit drinking breast milk, their mom will wean them off. So basically like feeding them less times per day. And it's cold turkey is used sometimes, for example, to quit smoking. You're going to quit cold turkey. That means that you're not going to reduce the amount of cigarettes that you're smoking. You're just going to quit altogether. You're going to throw away your last packet and not buy anymore.
Oh, yeah. Mr. B in the house. Freestyle.
So a couple more on this topic. You could also say, well, this could be used in email or I think in face-to-face interactions. So I would really appreciate it if you could. And it's good to notice here that we use the conditional. So I would really appreciate it if you could. And then you ask for the favor. Or I would be really grateful if you could. And then asking for the favor. So generally, if you're showing that you're already going to be thankful, people might be a little bit more open to doing you a favor. So just to wrap up this topic, we'll quickly go through some responses. So if someone is showing appreciation to you, it's also important for you to know what to say and maybe how you can sound a little bit more like a native in your response. So do you want to do the first one?
Yeah, first of all, just so you know, like not all natives are really good, and probably most natives aren't good at this, at showing and at responding to appreciation. But I think it's important to just really consider how you're impacting people, how you're communicating. So, you know, the basic one, right, is you're welcome.
Mm-hmm. And I hear a lot of learners will say you are welcome, which this one, it's always said as a contraction. So it's just one syllable, you're welcome. Because if you say you are welcome, it sounds more like you are welcome in my home. You're basically an invited guest.
But yeah, so the pronunciation of it would be kind of like faster and we reduce it a little bit. So it'd be you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Right? You could even say oftentimes, I don't know, do you say welcome?
Like just welcome?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. Maybe I'd say it really fast, you're welcome.
Maybe in like my home environment when you're being really lazy in communication, maybe amongst your family, maybe you might say it, but it is kind of lazy. So
definitely. Or maybe if your mouth is full, you might just go, mm-hmm. So anyway, I think another really great way that natives will sometimes show appreciation that's kind of informal might be don't mention it. So that basically is another way of saying like, oh, it's not necessary for you to say thank you. Don't mention it.
Another way I think is a little bit less formal, but it's all good, brother.
It's all good, brother. That's extremely, extremely informal.
No, well, maybe my tone, right? The brother and stuff. But, you know, you can just say it's all good.
It's all good.
It's definitely informal, but I mean, it shows that you're happy to do it.
Yeah. Or you might also say something like it goes without saying. So it goes, you know, like I do it without you needing to say thanks. It's a way of saying, of course.
Yeah. But just so you know, it doesn't mean that you should stop. You shouldn't actually say it.
Yeah.
You know, because even if they say don't mention it, you're like, oh, okay, I'm not going to mention it anymore.
It's just being polite, right?
Yeah. It's a formality, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a formality. There's this culture of not needing people to be thankful to you, although people always appreciate when other people are genuinely thankful to them.
But people have a hard time accepting it. So that's why they say don't mention it.
So I think another good way, kind of like this, very similar to don't mention it, that natives might use a lot is saying no worries or no problem. I think it's pretty informal, right?
Yeah, definitely. This is actually like Chad. He says no worries a lot, right?
No worries.
Yeah. And actually, one that we forgot in showing appreciation that I would add on there is like cheers. This is something I didn't start saying until I met Chad, actually, because it's definitely like a British Australian way to say thank you.
That's right. Yeah. I definitely use that a lot more now as well. You might also hear, it's probably not that common, but I do hear some people use it, is saying no wuckin' furries.
I've never heard that.
Really? I've heard it in the States. And
No, but what do you explain that?
No fucking furries. So it'd be more explicit, no fucking worries, but flipping the first letter on the F word and worries so that it doesn't sound like you're cursing. No fucking furries. So the next, moving on from that one, would be saying my pleasure or it's a pleasure. That's kind of a way of responding, saying, again, you know, maybe your thanks aren't necessary, but I really appreciate it. It's my pleasure to do this favor, to do this thing for you.
And I like that one. I think it's definitely a more honest. I mean, if you're really doing it with a sense of pleasure, if you really want to help that person, I think that's a good one because it shows that you're accepting it. And I think it's important to be able to accept gratitude from somebody. And if you just reject it, I think it's kind of an unconscious way to, I don't know, maybe you're not feeling it. You know what I mean?
It also kind of shows just that kind of, you're doing something unconditionally, that kind of unconditional wanting to do a favor for something, wanting to give someone a present or wanting to help them with something without expecting anything in return. And the last one we have in this list is for sure, which we might say like.
What's up? For sure, brother.
That's what Justin says when he's hanging out with his homies.
That's Jay Dizzle, Justin. Back in the hood. I'm just kidding.
Jay Money.
No disrespect to people if you live in the hood. So for sure.
Yeah, you could say for sure. You could also say, just if you want to say it more complete, we would reduce the four and just say for sure. So if you want to say it more like slang, you could say for sure. But if you just want to say it more, I guess, natural, not as informal, you can say for sure.
But it's interesting to think about that, because that expression, doesn't this, like, we've used this before in like written. I think it's very common in like text, right? Because people sort of acquire this like playful attitude using like more slang, gangster expressions, right?
Yeah. It kind of like works its way into the culture, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So just to wrap this up, we are going to bring in, not actually live on the podcast, but we're going to bring in some words of wisdom from probably one of the biggest masters of gratitude and just positive energy, self-development in general, Tony Robbins. If you've not heard of him, you definitely need to go Google him. And well, I'll also, you know, try to share something about him in the show notes. Or if you have Netflix, he did a really great documentary about one. He does these annual conferences, which are renowned for being very intensive, going very deep. And if you enjoy the clip that we're going to share here, where he's leading an exercise in gratitude that I mentioned earlier, this is something I do every day. Something, a way that you could work some gratitude into your life is by listening to this.
You do the Tony exercise every day?
Yeah, I do an abridgment of it. So I don't do the full like 5 minutes, but after my meditation every day, I try to do a very similar gratitude practice. So we're going to play this for you right now. If you like it, like I said, in the show notes, I'll link some more of his work. For example, if you have Netflix, he did a documentary like I was talking about called I'm Not Your Guru.
I might recommend even before that, like there's a podcast called the Tim Ferriss Podcast. I think we've mentioned it before, but Ethan and I both listened to this. It's kind of like about business, life. He dissects and deconstructs and interviews top performers. And he did a really great interview with Tony Robbins on this. I'm Not Your Guru is really good, but it's definitely very intense. If you don't know Tony as well,
yeah.
If you haven't heard him before, it could be over the top.
You're right. What does it mean, over the top?
Too much, maybe?
Too much. So I will link both of those. I will link that interview and I will link a trailer for the I'm Not Your Guru at the show notes at reallifeglobal.com/gratitude. And you can also find there all of the vocabulary from today, all of those terms about appreciation and gratitude, which will help you to start living this in your life, which is what we're all about. So we'll 1, 2, 3, all yeah, you guys out of here, and then we'll play Tony.
Wait, 1 second. I just want to say, Ethan, you ungrateful bastard, you, our listeners, I'm really appreciative. I'm very grateful. Thank you so much for all of your support, everything you guys give us, you inspire us. You really do a lot for us. Thank you so much for being there for us and for helping us create this show.
Oh, yeah. So like Justin said, I'm also very grateful for all you guys, especially all the good vibes that you send to us by either sending us an email or commenting on this post and letting us know what you thought. So enjoy Tony Robbins, and 1, 2, 3,
The reason we use gratitude, by the way, is the two emotions that mess us up most is anger and fear. And, you know, you can't be grateful and angry simultaneously. It's the antidote. Put both your hands on your heart and physically breathe deep into your heart. And as you're breathing deep in your heart, feel the strength of your heart. Feel the power of your heart. Feel the beauty of your heart. What are you proud or grateful that your heart has guided you to do or to give or to feel or to enjoy? And feel the strength of your heart. Breathe into it. Feel the blood flow, the oxygen. And feel grateful for your heart first. Because think about it. You didn't have to earn this heart. It was given to you. You didn't have to prove your value or your worth. You didn't have to accomplish anything. Something loved you enough to give you the gift of life. And as long as this heart is beating, you have that gift and you live. And you don't have to think about it. What a gift. So as you breathe in your heart, feeling your powerful heart, I want you just for a moment, we're going to think of three, but just think first of one event in your life, one experience, one moment that you could feel so grateful for if you wanted to. A magic moment, a sacred moment, a sexy moment, a beautiful moment, a loving moment, any moment that really you could feel grateful for if you wanted to right now. And then step into that memory for a minute. Like step in your body as if you were there. See what you would have saw then as if you're there, or hear what you'd hear back then, or breathe the way you were breathing back then. And if you fill up with that sense of gratitude for that moment, how do you smile when you feel so grateful or so thankful? What's the look in your eyes? How do you breathe? What's the look in your face when you feel really, really grateful? And just fill it up. Fill up with gratitude. You can't be fearful and angry simultaneously. So fill up with the gratitude. Now think of a second moment you could feel truly grateful for. And again, breathe deep in your heart. Feel that power. And just think of any other moment. It could be from your childhood or adulthood. It could be last week. It could be today. It could be 10 years ago. Any moment that you could just truly feel like that was grace. That was magical. That was beautiful. That's magnificent. Something that gives you the feeling of tremendous gratitude if you really focused on it. Breathe it, feel it, enjoy it, fill up with gratitude. And then finally, think of a third moment you can feel truly grateful for. Step in it, see it, feel it, be there. Feel the gratitude. What were you so grateful for? What are you grateful for? And then maybe throw one extra one in. Think of a coincidence. You know, we all love when life happens for us, not to us. We love coincidences because we didn't do anything. Something happened for us. You were going to do one thing and you met somebody that you developed a partnership with or became a friend or a lover or the love of your life, or maybe a business opportunity came from a coincidence or an insight came from a coincidence that's been so valuable in your life, something you're grateful for. What's the coincidence that led to something you're so grateful for? And feel the gratitude for that. And was it a coincidence or were you guided? Now, as you breathe in your heart, you've been doing this for about 2 minutes. Keep breathing. Keep feeling it, feeling grateful. Let's use this state to solve the problem state. So the easy way to do that is keep breathing in your heart. Stay out of your head, in your heart. And think of that situation that's unfinished business that stressed you out in the past. But keep breathing this beautiful state and ask yourself this question. Ask yourself, all I need to focus on in that situation, all I need to focus on, all I need to remember is what? Your heart knows. All I need to focus on, all I need to remember, all I need to do in that situation is what? Your heart knows the answer. All I need to focus on, all I need to remember, all I need to do is, and then your heart probably knows the answer. I've done this a million times, not every one of you, but in a normal room, I'd have people say, raise your hand if you've got that answer. than 98, 99% of the people usually do, even with this simple technique. And you know what to do, what's next.